This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6. This is Episode 19. Presented by Hooters. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area like me, where Hooters was born, you know there are multiple original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, not just the first one ever on Gulf to Bay and Clearwater, not just Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast player Tony Metzler's location down in Johns Pass Village, but also the newest location just a little west of the Suncoast Parkway in Odessa on State Road 54. Wonderful outdoor dining experience, spacious indoor area. Check it out. Part of the original Hooters family in the greater Tampa Bay area. Online ordering is very simple. Front page, originalhooters.com. Orange icon, upper right, says order. Take it from there. Enjoy. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Also, a thanks to Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford for their continuing support here on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Last year, Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford wrote a check to the winner of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League, where we drafted on the showroom floor. We're doing that again this year. Bill Curry Ford is writing checks again this year. Our big draft night is coming up. We are all locked in with participants from all over the greater Tampa Bay area. That's coming up on Labor Day weekend. Look forward to it. We'll be talking a lot about it in the days that follow. And throughout the season, referencing the podcast leagues. Payway is catering. Papa John's of Tampa Bay is catering. ABC Action News Chief Meteorologist Dennis Phillips and Sons will be there. The one and only Drew Garabo of Drew Garabo Live will be there. The sage Ira Kaufman from JoeBucksFan.com will be there. And, of course, two-time defending champion Robert Wright will be there, loyal Todd Wright Tour player. And the return of Val, who went on justifying the wild card. I do this in all my leagues. The last playoff spot is the wild card. Wins, losses, head-to-head are meaningless. You get in on total points for the last spot because you've earned it. Val did with the worst record in one of our podcast leagues in 2019. Ran the table in the playoffs, won the league. She was geographically displaced, could not participate last year. She's back in a stacked league for 2021. Look forward to seeing Val, Robert, Sean, Ira, Drew, Scott from Payway, Mike from Papa John's, Dennis Phillips and family, Bengal Ralph. We have fun. Old school style. That's the way we draft. Hey, starting to get fantasy football questions, so definitely shoot them to me. If you already did a draft, then let me know what you ended up with and what you think. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. This is episode 19. Let's talk about the injury to J.K. Dobbins. Not why it happened. You get these roughly every year. I know it takes on another shine because the Ravens have this, what, 20-game preseason winning streak. I've never bothered because as much as Drew accuses me of being a degenerate, I've never wagered money on a preseason NFL game. I think it'd be worse to wager on, say, like the East-West Shrine game. So I've never gotten even close to that level. But the Dobbins injury takes on more significance because it was the fourth quarter of the last preseason game. Dobbins is upset about it. But you get players hurt in the preseason. Etienne was hurt the previous week. Granted, it wasn't the fourth quarter. He's just a rookie. Dobbins, second-year guy, 9 touchdowns last year. Clearly the lead back. Unfortunate for Dobbins. Let's just talk about it from fantasy purposes. That's what we do here. So, to me, let's take this name by name. Lamar Jackson is still the leading ball carrier for the Ravens. Now, I know many of you were burned by drafting Lamar Jackson early last year. It hurt you and impacted you significantly. Even though near the end of the season, he was one of the more productive quarterbacks in fantasy football, but the numbers he didn't put up the first couple months didn't justify you drafting him in the early or even mid rounds. It didn't. I know in one of my leagues, I think the Foundation League, he was the third quarterback off the board, and it was the reason why that player in the Foundation League, if you finish dead last, you are the ass man. And yes, there's a connection to Kramer from Seinfeld, and we have the actual license plate. He drafted Lamar Jackson too early, dug himself a hole he couldn't get out of, and became the ass man. So Lamar Jackson was one of those players, and as I said on the Todd Wright Toddcast about something else this week, I don't want to hold grudges, but I'm very good at them. Very good at doing so. And I think that applies to many of us in fantasy football. When a player betrays us for fantasy purposes, we hold a grudge, right? Here's a name, Eddie Lacy. That guy got so many of us, right? Now, he's not in the picture anymore, but how many of us held a grudge against that guy that prevented us from ever going back to him while others made the same mistake? And it can apply to various players, injuries, lack of production, Seinfeld reference, yada, yada, yada. Can you yada, yada, yada over fantasy football stuff? I just did. All right, so Dobbins is out for the year in the most run-heavy Baltimore and Tennessee, right? Most run-heavy offenses in the NFL. Maybe Minnesota right below it, especially with Dalvin Cook's numbers last year. All right, so what it means is for those that didn't suffer as a result of drafting Lamar Jackson too early last year, this elevates the value of Lamar Jackson. I know some of you don't want to hear this, but I still look at Jackson's numbers after the first couple of months. In the Moneyball League, where I had only the first pick overall, and I got Lamar Jackson as my quarterback because he was undrafted in an 8-team league in 2019. Undrafted. The volatility on Lamar Jackson now looks more worthwhile because Dobbins is out. You know, last year the Ravens had Ingram, Dobbins, Hill, Edwards. In my opinion, Hill is a non-factor. That has played out about as badly as I've thought. Ingram is gone. Edwards is still there. We'll talk about him in a moment. Now Dobbins is out of the picture for the entire season. Lamar Jackson still ran for 1,000 yards last year. Those points are extremely valuable when you look at what quarterback production means in fantasy football. The quarterbacks who keep the ball are threats in the red zone, acquire rushing yardage, are simply more valuable than the standard pocket passers. Yeah, we talked about how based on the Todd Wright 21st century modernized standard scoring settings had Deshaun Watson as QB5 last year. And obviously, he's not a consideration until further notice. I know things bubbled up about the Dolphins again. Not sure how that leaked, why that leaked, what there is to that, if the Texans might just be looking to cut their losses at this point. Clearly the Texans are tanking the season for next year based on who their head coach is, who their defensive coordinator and associate head coach is. So dumping Watson does make sense. And what's the value of him, and will it, is it going down or will it get higher? So you can't touch Watson right now. I mean, you might want to throw a dart at him later or in keeper leagues. I don't play keeper leagues. But in terms of a single season, I mean, I might take him in the last round of our draft if he's sitting there. Other than that, I'm not doing it because I don't really see the reward. There's no risk on the last pick. Anything higher than that, unless news changes, because I still think he lands on the commissioner's exempt list until all of this gets settled. And I'm not talking about what team he plays for. So we've talked about, well, if we're taking Watson out of that QB5 spot from last year, who goes in there? Some would say Dak. I'm thinking Russell Wilson. There have been other theories there as well. But Lamar Jackson, you can make a case for it. And the Dobbins injury props it up even more. That Lamar Jackson might this year be worth the pick that some used on him last year, and he didn't produce for about 2 months. Again, 1,000 yards rushing. The 9 touchdowns that Dobbins scored, I would expect Lamar to get 3 or 4 of those. Gus Edwards. I always make this analogy to Luke Walton. I always hated Bill Walton. I still do. I hated him as a player. I hate him as a commentator. For a while, his son was a bench player for the Los Angeles Lakers, and there were times where Luke Walton would come off the bench for a talented Laker team, and he'd play, I don't know, let's say 18 minutes, and he'd look terrific. You'd look at those 18 minutes in the box score, you'd see field goals, rebounds, assists, maybe a steal or two, and just think, wow, he did this in 18 minutes? Imagine what. And there's, this is kind of like the Matt Prater adjustment. It's the Luke Walton analogy. Then Luke Walton did get more minutes. Might have even started some games. And the numbers suddenly didn't look that good. You know, for all the years that I've watched the Dallas Cowboys play, there was a running back named Marion Barber. No relation to Tiki or to Rondé. And Marion Barber was a backup running back for the Cowboys. And he would occasionally start a series, often in the second quarter, maybe midway through the third quarter or early fourth. Or he'd play on down and distance or in certain sets near the goal line. And I had a very good friend of mine who went with me to a lot of those Cowboys games when I had season tickets at Texas Stadium. And Barber would touch the ball in those situations, and Barber would produce some level of result. And my friend would just turn to me and say, I love watching him touch the ball. He runs so angry. And then the Cowboys elevated him to number one on the running back chart. And there's the Luke Walton analogy again. Funny how that works. And that brings me to Gus Edwards. I think Gus Edwards is exactly what we have seen. And if Gus Edwards' role expands, Gus Edwards' production will not. The per carry will taper off. Perhaps he cannot handle the additional reps. He would be game planned more by opposing defensive coordinators. I think the Luke Walton analogy applies to Gus Edwards, which is why I'm not excited about rostering him in fantasy unless it's as a reserve running back, which I might have done even if Dobbins was healthy. Justice Hill is not part of this conversation at all. We look deeper to Williams and McCrary. It's McCrary. Yeah, look, John Harbaugh figures things out. That's a real solid National Football League head coach. He figured out how to use Lamar Jackson. He's always been a thorn in the side of Bill Belichick. He's won a Super Bowl. Yeah. I think John Harbaugh figures out how to keep the ball moving for the Baltimore Ravens, how to keep them competitive, how to keep them in the mix for a playoff spot. So there could be value in a Williams or a McCrary. I'll believe it when I see it on Hill. But I think that's more of a dart throw or a waiver claim later, because you just don't have enough to go on now. But circling back, the main thing for me is the Dobbins injury and the poor start to last year elevate the reward value if you're going to take the risk in the early rounds on Lamar Jackson, the same risk that didn't pay off last year. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Easy online ordering, originalhooters.com for those of you in the Tampa Bay area. Remember, their newest location in Odessa, just a minute west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.